Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
So I was in the shower, I was cleaning my ass and making all the shirts all sparkly, spanky clean.
I'm not the funny one, I'm the pretty one.
Cock shots. I just checked myself out.
Candles, music, wine, and then loop up and get on top.
The glory hole's like a like dick theater. Imagine your friend.
Which means your pants had better come off. Mama needs playtime.
We're not sluts.
We just love love.
Hello, this is Mrs. Atom.
And this is Mr. Atom.
Welcome back. Thanks for joining us again.
Hey, y'all.
All right.
I'm sleepy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh.
I know.
Been a big weekend for you?
It's been a big weekend for us.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's been an awesome weekend.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So, first of all, let's talk about May. Mm-hmm. We got two things going on in May. Mm-hmm. May. Friday, May 18th is our next pendulum party.
Yep.
Tickets will go on sale the first week of April, so next week.
Yay.
Holy shitballs.
Coming up soon.
I know. That's so awesome. That's going to be exciting. Yeah, so that's, you know, it's the place that everybody wants to be.
Yeah. Come out and explore and
swing on
have
by.
Have a little bit of fun.
I know, right?
Yeah.
And then the next week, which math is May 25th.
Yes.
Whew. Yes. What's that?
That's femme.
Ooh.
That's going to be a ladies only night at our secret spot.
Yes. All women, all the time.
Yes. And we'll post,
and only women.
I was going to say, we'll get ticket links up for you guys. We'll put it up on Twitter, Facebook, maybe even the website if we get really excited
frisky.
About it.
We get frisky on it.
but yeah,
don't judge the website. It's technically up. I'm working on it in the background. We've got some cool things in the works, including a calendar of events and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah. But we'll get that up.
The real world's just getting in the way.
Yeah.
Damn you, real world.
Yeah. But we'll get ticket links up for you guys so you can come on out and join us and have some fun in May. It's going to be an awesome month.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited. May is going to be busy, 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 mm-hmm. busy.
And then before that, in April, the last Friday of April, the Sex Ed in the City class on the 27th is threesomes, foursomes, and moresomes.
That's right.
So it's all about group sex, orgies, etiquette, everything that goes along with it.
That's I'm pretty excited for that.
Yeah.
And then before that, on this coming on the Wednesday the 6th, the first Wednesday in April, we're doing Swinging 101.
It's a Friday, babe. That's not a
Wednesday. What did I say?
You said Wednesday.
Wednesday, Sunday, Monday, Saturday.
It is the 6th.
All those days just run away. Mm-hmm. Look, yeah, my brain is broken.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so the 6th, I was right, it's the 6th.
It
so Friday the
6th,
we're doing Swinging 101, which is before Newbies Night at our secret spot. So mm-hmm. that's going to be awesome. We got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, I know.
It's going to be pretty fucking exciting. Yeah. So there you go. There you have it.
Come out and join us.
Yeah.
We'd love to have you.
Yeah,
well,
we would.
See you. That came out wrong.
No, it didn't.
All right. Now we need to reset here. We're doing well.
It's really funny because it's like we sound like we're dying. It's 6:30 in the afternoon. We're broken.
And
anyway,
we've had no alcohol yet.
I'm having my first drink of the day. It is a gin and tonic. Really nice gin.
Hey, you've been on your gin and tonics lately.
I am. I am on the gin and tonics right now.
Yeah.
They're, it's everywhere I want
to
be.
Yeah. And I'm just starting to get into liking gins.
So, yeah. So, spoiler alert, the Owl House on Crown Street in the city has the best martini I have ever drank in my entire life. Mm-hmm. Right there. I'm laying it down. Go in there, talk to Amir or Owen, and say, I want the best martini in the world. They will do it for you. It's amazing. Yeah. And even you drink it, which, yeah. And I've seen you make faces after taking a taste of my martinis in the past, mm-hmm. that look like you need to have an exorcism. but you're like, every time I even reach over to take a sip from you, no, it's mine. I mean, it is such a good martini. Oh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting because Owen has made me a couple of drinks, you know, over, I would say, probably the last few months, and where he'll just make a drink for me, and I don't know what it is, and then I'll come to find out a few of them have had gin in there, and they're actually quite good, because what I haven't liked before is that aftertaste, the juniperiness or something.
The ginniness.
Yeah,
and, which is something I like, yes. But this gins that they've been introducing us to are New World gins.
Yeah.
I didn't realize there was an Old World gin and a New World gin, and the New World gins don't have that distinct, you know, the juniper.
So they're a little more
herbaceousness.
Yeah, they're just, I don't know, they have a very nice finish to them. And then however they make their cocktails, just, yeah, delicious. So good. Anyway.
But this isn't a cocktail or alcohol podcast. We're just cocktail and alcohol enthusiasts.
Uh-huh.
What are we talking about this week?
I think we should start with the weekend. Are you settled over there? You seem to be having issues.
No, I do have issues. I'm issued.
I'll wait till you're settled.
Okay, I'm settled.
So tonight we're going to talk about the weekend, or at least start with that and see where we end up.
See where we end up. Because it was a busy weekend.
It was. And there were a lot of different kinds of things going on. Well,
yes.
I say a lot, but a few.
Yes. Some of these will harken back to previous podcasts, and some of these will harken forward to podcasts in the future.
Yes. Yeah, so we started off Friday night at our secret spot, as you do. We started off there with one of the Sex Ed in the City classes, and it was really good. It was the G-spot and clitoral massage class, which is always a popular one. We do that one a couple times a year.
So it was good. We forgot a major component of the night. We forgot the sex toy that makes you squirt.
Yes.
So we didn't actually show off the squirting that night.
We talked a lot about it. There were a lot of questions in general, but especially about squirting.
Yeah.
There was a lot of conversation during the class about it. So we talked a lot about it, but we didn't show it. So, yeah, it's all right.
Yeah.
You can't always squirt.
You can leave your juice behind because your friends don't squirt. And if they don't squirt, well, they're no friends of mine. Actually, I don't mind if you squirt or not. It's just... But that just seems like a good song. Look, I'm feeling very musical tonight. We should do a musical episode.
Okay.
Where we both sing.
We could do that. We might not have any listeners left by the end of it.
It'll be great. Okay. But the class went really well. It was fucking packed.
Yep.
Which is nice.
Yeah.
It
was a little rushed at the end because we were trying to really end on time because we usually go over, and we were trying to keep on track because
time was important.
And why was that?
Some folks from, is it SBS?
I think SBS, the show Insight.
So, which is, it's like one of if you're in the States, it's a ABC, NBC, CBS. It's one of those television groups.
Conglomerates.
But it's a television show called Insight, and they were following Jess and Lawrence around and kind of doing the story of their life, which meant that at supposedly we were rushing because at 9 o'clock they were all going to get there and the camera crew was going to be wandering around the club with us. So Lawrence did this thing where, you know, we had a list of people that we could get in for free, and he had a list, and a couple other of the regulars, we all had lists where we could get people in for free because we wanted the club to look full. Because the last thing want is to have a swingers club with nobody in it.
Yeah.
And it's Murphy's Law that on a normal Saturday night, there's, 10, 20 couples? And on the night when they film, there would probably be one.
Yeah. And then anybody else who did come, there was discounted entry as well.
Yeah.
So it was good. It was a nice crowd. It was a... it was that comfortable, busy kind of crowd.
Yes.
Where there were lots of people to talk to, different circles to go around to, you know, just... So many nice people, and really a lot of fun. And so we were ready at 9 o'clock. Everybody was, you know, kind of milling about and getting the night started just like you normally would, and chatting. And then admittedly me, because it's how I am, and Mr. Adam will always tell you, oh, it must be 10 o'clock, because at some point I started to get antsy and thinking I wanted to go upstairs and maybe play, and especially because we had friends there, and he was like, no, they're supposed to be here at 9, and I looked at my watch, and it was 9:45.
Then it was 10, then it was 10:15. Yeah. Look, you know, and they finally showed up somewhere between 10:15 and 10:30.
Yeah.
And at that point, you were basically, yeah, you were...
I was ready.
You were ready. But, so they came in, and it was of course, Lawrence and Jess, and mm-hmm. then four people from the film crew. You have the producer lady, the producer's lady, lady's assistant or coffee mm-hmm. wench. I don't know what that poor lady did, but she always looked like she was being led around by the producer lady.
I'm going to go with assistant.
So, a PA.
Yeah.
Executive assistant. Then there was the sound guy and the camera guy.
Uh-huh.
And they were completely unprepared.
Mm-hmm.
Journalism is... I know it's complex. There's a lot of moving pieces. And when I say complex, I mean there's a lot of moving pieces. It's like an engine. But in the end, it should be pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
If you do a little bit of work ahead of time, and it does take work ahead of time, and you got to put the effort in. But this quad did not put their work in. The camera was underlit.
It's a dark swingers club. It's not going to be the best for filming anything, and you kind of have to be prepared for that.
Yeah, and you have to have, like, when Hack Live came into filmed, the lights that they had on the front of their cameras were, like, ridiculous. It was like looking into the sun. I'm pretty sure I lost a retina or something. But they, you know, this crew had a light on the front of their camera that was about the size of an iPhone. So it was very directional.
It provided a little bit of light right in front, but it doesn't give you the full picture, or at least not the way we see it,
exactly.
Anyway.
And it's funny because, you know, I've talked to film people before who are always like, oh, yeah, we always go and we check the site out before we go and videotape, you know, so we know exactly what we need. And mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that this crew was like, we've got what we need.
Yeah.
Let's just wing it. Which, you know, maybe that's why you're working for SBS. I don't know. You know, it's just, ugh.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, because I will say that overall, just from some of the comments and things that were said and actions that were done, it's pretty clear that they didn't really know what they were walking into.
Yeah.
As far as a scenario goes, how the night runs, you know, when people, because they did get there around the time that people are dressing down and wanting to go play, except that everybody knew they were coming. So, you know, not knowing whether they were going to go up to the playrooms or not, nobody really wanted to be up there at that point. So it was a very different kind of night because it drug out the social bit a lot more. And so play didn't really start happening until much later. And I still always say that if you're, and I know it's hard because there's all kinds of time pressures and other job responsibilities, but if you're going to do something like that and you're going into such, I'm going to say, a foreign environment, just go as a patron one night.
Yes.
Just go on a normal night as
Lawrence
a patron.
Because Lawrence would have happily let them come in as a patron for free.
Just to see how it works. And that way you know if you want to talk to people, you need to be there early to catch them. And then, you know, because at a certain point, everybody does want to go play.
You know, and it's one of those things, too, where she kept saying, oh, I want everything to be natural. I want everybody to act natural.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we all know that when you study something, you affect it.
The observer effect.
It's part of the Heisenberg uncertainty principle. I think it was by Heisenberg, but I don't remember.
I'll take your word for it.
But when you observe something, you affect it.
Mm-hmm.
And she kept being like, well, you know, I want it was two things. One, I want everybody to be natural and act natural. But at the same time, every time she wanted to film upstairs, it was like, well, all these people are fucking and we can't record the fucking. Like, really? Like, do you know where you are?
Yes.
This isn't a library.
And it's a swingers club at, what, 11, 11:30, 12 o'clock at night?
Midnight, yeah. It's just like, God, it's just do a little preparation. You know, it's the seven P's.
Yeah.
The prior proper preparation prevents piss poor performance. Mm-hmm. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what this actually looks like and how it comes out. I know we were mm-hmm. recorded on camera. And I know that the entire time I was not happy.
Yeah,
I don't think I smiled much. And I'm pretty sure that that attitude, and I'm kind of disappointed that that attitude is going to come across on film. Because the other problem that I had with her, Miss Producer Lady, is, yeah, I hope you're listening to this, is as a journalist, when you want to start a conversation, you ask open-ended questions.
Mm-hmm.
She asked us and another couple five questions
very
each.
Very closed
and
questions.
And they were all, like, basically yes or no or multiple choice answer questions.
Uh-huh.
Like, what the... Then she looked shocked when we didn't have...
Yeah. Well...
She looked shocked when we didn't have these long, drawn-out mm-hmm. answers. Things like, what do you want from the club? Or, do you play with people often?
Yes.
Like,
that was one.
Or, do you see people when you come here?
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, yes, I see you. You're in front of me.
There's staff here. There are people.
There are definitely people here. Yes, I see them. Do you mean, do we bump uglies? Is that what you mean, producer lady? Ugh.
Yeah, it was interesting. The questions, the specifically pointed questions that we were asked were, like you said, very closed questions. They didn't spur on conversation or even debate or anything whatsoever. And the other thing, I think this is partially why you were not in a happy mood at that point, was because let's set up the situation. It had been a busy night.
Yes.
There were a lot of couples there.
Yes.
At the point that everyone realized that the film crew was no longer going to go upstairs, the hot tub got very busy. So the spa filled up with people.
Yes.
And to the point, you know, water's overflowing. Typical kind of, you know.
Typical.
People get in.
It's an 8-person hot tub and 14 people were in it.
And I knew that the water had been down. There had been a lot of people in it, that kind of a thing. We had gone upstairs at the other side to the orgy room to play with a group of people.
Which we'll come back to that because it was amazing.
Yes. We'll come back to that in more detail. But we had gone up there to play with them. Came down much later, honestly, just for water break, because we were all still wanted to, or many of us at least, wanted to continue playing, but we needed a break, and we just needed some water and just kind of a chill-out moment. So we started walking down the stairs, and that's when Jess had pointed to you and I and said that she needed us downstairs. They wanted to talk to us. And as soon as we got to the bottom of the stairs, we got attitude from the producer. Yeah. And she was like, well, we've been waiting for an hour and a half.
And well,
like,
we've been fucking for an hour and a half, so, you know.
And it's like, well, if you wanted to talk to us, let us know ahead of time.
Yeah. There was...
A, let us know ahead of time, period. And B, definitely before you or the staff or someone sees us going upstairs, you should make it known that you want to talk.
Yes.
And that there's a timeline. And be at least a little punctual with it.
Yes. You know, and the other part...
It's basic respect.
You know, the other problem to this is I had emailed her... So her minion mm-hmm. lady had emailed us, and I had responded to her email
mm-hmm.
Asking us if we'd like to be on camera. And I responded, we're happy to talk to you on camera, blah, 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 blah. Then another friend of ours had emailed me and said, hey, this group is looking to film mm-hmm. for open relationships and are looking people in the LGBT community to communicate, you know, with them. Would you mind emailing the producer? So I emailed the producer lady as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got two emails out to them, and I never heard back from them once I emailed them.
Right.
So number one, that is... Again, if that's how journalism works, I should be a journalist because I can definitely not respond to your emails.
I'll give them the benefit of the doubt, and they may have had a lot of emails. But at the same time, if they know they want to talk to you, there should be a quick, easy way to search through and see, you know, if they know they'd heard from us. We know that they had heard from us. And even so, once you're at the club, again, make it known either to Lawrence and Jess, ourselves, the staff, somebody that can kind of help coordinate this, as opposed to we come down the stairs at 1:30, 1:00 in the morning and give us attitude about it. And then that just gets it right off on the wrong foot.
Yeah.
From
it's
there.
Like already I have zero respect for you.
Yeah.
So we go upstairs to the hot tub.
Oh,
and,
yes. Because then she
wants
actually,
she goes, I want you to get into the spa. Will you get in the spa? And I looked at her and I went, no, my partner's a molecular biologist. We don't get into the spa this late in the night.
Especially after so many people had been there. And while we know it's cleaned every night, it's still... And I also knew the water levels were low, so I'm like, well, we're probably not going to get bubbles on, because when it gets so low, it gets difficult, and it's just, I was not happy about that.
But after 14 to 40 people have been in the hot tub, you don't want to be at the end of that line. No. Even with it being cleaned every night.
Even if
it was my own hot tub. But she just kept, ended up being one of those things. I was like, look, I will do it just to shut you up.
We'll just do it to appease you and get this done with so we can continue on with our night.
Exactly. Yeah. And so we got in.
Another couple got in.
And another couple got in. Mm-hmm. And then they filmed their stupid little questions.
And none of us were very pleased about it whatsoever. Again, all four of us were just kind of like, seriously, let's just get this done.
I'm pretty sure you can tell that it's really upsetting that that's mm-hmm. going to be how it comes off.
I am curious to see how it turns out, though, because the Hack Live thing was very similar, you know, as far as not really being prepared. And
no, but they were on time. They were punctual.
They were on time. And they actually did ask some very good questions.
Yes.
They just didn't use them.
Correct.
So it could be that they film all of this and then they only show Lawrence and Jess walking into the club.
Yeah. And that,
you know, you never know.
It would probably be best if we weren't on camera. you know, and it's interesting because if we compare this Insight television show to the Hack Live television mm-hmm. show, it's little things. Like Hack Live had us all sign waivers, mm-hmm. which I think is fucking genius.
Insight said they would blur out faces and anything like that, but still.
Second, the questions that Tom asked during the Hack Live stuff was, I mean, they were intelligent questions. They were open-ended. They were what I would consider mm-hmm. at least fair to Midland journalistic questions.
They were leading. You could tell that they were trying to go down a certain path, but at the same time, they weren't going down that path because that's not where the answers took them. And you could tell that they were kind of like, oh, and they kind of reevaluated as they went along.
Yeah. You know, and then overall, just the preparedness of the group, you mm-hmm. know, how they, you know, and this isn't to compliment the Hack Live group, because I remember when we talked about them on the podcast, we weren't kind to them either. But just in comparison, Insight was worse.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I also think that with this one, and maybe it's because they didn't have the waivers, didn't have everything kind of laid out from the beginning. But this one, I would say people didn't really know what to expect. So there was a lot of, okay, are we supposed to be hanging around now? Can we go upstairs?
Yeah.
Can we, you know, are we going to dress down? Do you want us talking? You know, what do you want kind of thing? But I also think that there's a big differentiation between the two times is that Hack Live was there for the club. Insight is following Lawrence and Jess.
True.
So everybody else is kind of background and ancillary and not a major part of it. Which is fine, but then, you know, again, people just didn't know, you know, is it okay if I basically get on with my evening now or not?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think it's the film crew's responsibility to talk about their expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't do that at all.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was Friday night.
That was interesting. But we still managed to have a lot of fun.
We did.
While they were sitting downstairs waiting for us, apparently.
God, the sounds they must have heard. They should have just had the recording. I hope they did have the recording on listening
just
to the sound.
Just the sound, yeah. Hello, Mr. Sound Guy. If you got that, let us know.
Well done, mate. there were six of us?
Yes, there were six, and then there were a few others kind of peripherally that would maybe join bits here and
That's
there.
That's right. There were six to eight.
Yeah. Yeah, there were
There was eight. I think there was eight of us. Yes, I'm certain of that now.
Yes, there were.
Because my math is horrific. But because I remember at one point taking a quick moment and going, I'm touching seven other people. Like in some way, form, or fashion. Mm-hmm. I had my legs on somebody. I had my hand on somebody. My arm was laying over somebody to touch somebody else. I was kissing somebody. It was like, oh my God. It was
really nice because there was ourselves, two other couples that we have played with before, not all together, but separately.
Right, yeah.
We've played with them before. And then there was a new couple, well, new, quote unquote, to our group anyway. Yeah. new to us. And I know they listened to the podcast. Admittedly, I tried to get some of their backstory, but with all the camera here and there, because inevitably we'd be in the middle of like a really good conversation and then a camera or somebody would just kind of walk in between. You're like, okay. which also, you know, again, made it a little awkward. But I got some of their story. But it was what I thought was most interesting was if you just watch them, body language. She was extremely comfortable. He looked a little, I'm not going to say out of place, but a little more hesitant than she did.
Just a little more timid. But yeah. I talked to him a lot, and I really liked him.
He was very nice people.
Really interesting.
Yeah.
And he was. I mean, it's a bit full on. I think he was, because he even said, it's like, some people can take to this like a fish out of water. And I think he was talking about his partner. He's like, I'm still working on it.
Yeah.
He's like, I like it, but I'm still working on it. And I was like, oh.
And especially on a busy night. And a night like that where they do have the film crew. So it's, again, a completely different vibe.
Full on.
It's very full on, even for us.
Yeah.
But it just, especially for a new couple coming in, I can see it would be very daunting. And, yeah, that, I'm sure that's got to be, I'd love to hear his perspective after the fact.
I do too. I would love to as well.
But, yeah, they were really nice. We really enjoyed talking to them. And so when we went to go upstairs, basically, the other six of us, everybody was itching to go. And so we're like, all right, it's time. Let's go upstairs. And I told him, I was like, hey, we're, you know, going up to the orgy room. If you'd like to join us, you're more than welcome. And they came a couple minutes later.
Because you're both hot and we all like you.
Yes. Yes.
that was implied, but yeah.
And they did come up a few minutes later. I think we all kind of dressed down and went upstairs. And it was really... just really
easy.
Nice,
yeah.
Easy play. I mean, just everybody, again, there was just that chemistry between everybody that it was just, you know, I kind of felt, I'm going to say a little more like an orchestrator overall with this one, because while I got in and played some, there were a lot of times where I would just sit up and I would see, you know, it's because there were so many people and everybody was just kind of all around and there was a fair bit of byplay as well. In fact, I think early on with the six of us at the very beginning, we started off three boys.
Yeah, we did.
And then we kind of...
I think all the boys were itching to play with the boys and all the girls were itching to play with the girls.
And then we did kind of start mingling a bit after that. But, you know, I would look up and I would see that there was somebody over here just kind of taking a break and watching. So, okay, I would go for them. Or, oh, look, these two people
you
here...
You shall not rest.
Yeah. There's these two people here, so let's get you two together. And, you know, so it was just kind of making sure that everybody was involved somehow, having a good time. Not that I think there's ever a question about that.
Which is interesting because this was one of those rare times for me where I just sort of just turned my brain off. And I was like, I'm just going to enjoy this. And let's just...
And you were on the bottom of the puppy pile for most of it.
For most of it, yeah. So you know, at one point, you know, there's between one and three women who sat on my face for a little while.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, just you would... And I love the having somebody straddled over your face and then suddenly feel somebody and you have no idea who it is start to go down on you.
Mm-hmm.
That's a weird feeling. Now, I will say the only person that I'm always certain when they're touching me is you.
Yeah.
I know, because it's weird that you have such a signature.
We're attuned to each other.
Yeah, that so, I know exactly when you're touching me, even if it's on like the leg.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, that's Angela. You're like, oh, yeah, that's my girl.
Yeah, because I did notice that when somebody else would start going down on you, oftentimes you'd just kind of take a peek up. But then when I did, you didn't move at all.
I don't move at all because I was like, oh, yep, I know who that is.
That
feels awesome. Not to say that anybody else didn't feel awesome, but, you know, you are awesome.
Yeah.
It was...
It was funny, though, because one of the girls near the beginning... we had been kissing and stuff, and I was just about to make a move to go down. In fact, I think I was in the process of moving to go down on her. And then one of the guys jumped in. I was like, well, there goes that chance. We'll have to come back to that.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
That later.
You got a strike while the iron's hot, woman.
Clearly. There's a lot of competition in that bed, let me just say.
And in that bed of eight people, there was at least seven really hot irons.
Yeah.
I will say that I was the non-hot iron, but it was, I was still lukewarm. It was hot.
There was a lot of competition. If you wanted to be on someone, kissing someone, touching someone, doing something, you had to get in.
At one point, I actually had to push. The gentleman was part of this group. I had to push the gentleman out of the way because he was in front of something that I wanted. So I was like, hey, buddy, come here. And I went and I kissed him once and then pushed him out of the way. Love you, but go away. It's my turn now.
Are you learning tricks from Lawrence? Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy. Yeah, that was pretty funny. But in the end, it was great. I do wish that we had all had that 30 to 40 extra minutes. Because, you know, for us, when we play like that, it's a up and down and up and down and then up and down. And we never, I don't think.
We were just coming upon that big down.
Yeah.
And where we just kind of need a moment, let's get some water, whatever. And then when we went downstairs, I think basically all expecting to come back up.
Yeah.
And then that's when the camera people grabbed us and were perturbed because they'd been waiting for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
I think we were all
about at that final, let's actually finish and do the climax thing.
Yeah.
So we never got to that.
Yeah. But yeah, it was, and by the time we finished with the camera crew up in the spa and whatever, I think about half the people had left. So, you know,
it was late. People were tired. Respect that.
That's it at that point. But it was just so much fun because it was, again, you know, there was a lot of sensualness, and it was just kind of that nice little puppy pile. And we did have, so at first we were on one half of the beds up in the orgy room.
Yes.
Two king size beds.
All eight of us.
Yeah. And we were on one half because there were other people as well in there. And then at some point, others disappeared. So we just kind of spread out, which was nice. And then I started traversing between one bed or the other, depending on, you know, who wanted to play with at the moment. I do know there was another couple that came up at one point and were kind of standing back just watching. And one of the ladies tried to usher them in and say, hey, do you want to come? And he came up. But then she stayed standing back and was clearly uncomfortable. And so, you know, she tried to encourage the partner to come up, and the partner did, but was clearly not comfortable at all, backed off immediately. So it was like, okay. And then she pushed the gentleman away because, not the gentleman, but she pushed the male partner away because she was like, you know, this is basically, it's a team sport. If your partner's not into it, then you don't need to be up here doing this, you know? But there were others that kind of came and joined for bits and pieces here and there. But it was that core eight of us. It was just so fluid. And
it was awesome.
Yeah, it was good.
It was a lot of fun.
You know, people and parts and kisses and stuff. And yeah, it was just awesome.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Yeah. It's like one of those moments I kind of stopped and looked and I was like, oh, you know, you were going 69 on somebody. And then there was, I think his partner was also helping you out, going down on him. And then occasionally you guys would kiss while you're still sitting on his face. It was, it was hot.
Yeah.
Like, this is great. I love this.
Yeah, it was really hot.
So, yeah. So that was Friday night. And then Saturday we basically slept all day and then got ready for our Secret Spot's fourth birthday party.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, OSS. Mm-hmm. We made it there. We were there spot on at 8:30.
Yep. And I will say that the birthday party, for anyone who does not know, is, I would say, it rivals New Year's, maybe is even a little busier than New Year's. It is such a big party night there.
Lawrence actually said that they had 20 more couples. I think he said they had 20 more couples at...
Couples or people or something, yeah.
Maybe people. Yeah, 20 more people than at New
Year's.
Could
be couples.
At birthday party than they did at...
I'd believe either.
It was crazy.
It was busy. It was packed.
I have never seen that place that busy. It was...
Except for the first New Year's that we went.
It was busier than that.
No.
Yeah, it was busier than that. Yes.
All right.
It was just the timing on that was bad. Yeah. This one was just, there was that many people. Yeah. It was crazy. It was awesome, but it was crazy.
It was so awesome though. Yeah. But, yeah.
We got there and it was just wall to wall people. And it's not really, there's really not much to tell because the night was just a lot of us seeing people that we hadn't seen in either. There was a couple couples that we hadn't seen in a year.
6 months, a year.
I would say 3 months. A quarter, two quarters, three quarters, or a full year.
And for us, it ended up being a lot more social because there were all these people that we really liked and maybe have had some conversations with here and there, but haven't seen them or really had a chance to talk much or interact in so long. And so it was just kind of that great reconnection moment.
Yeah.
And there were just people everywhere. And no matter where you went, there was someone to talk to. There was somebody interesting and so many beautiful outfits and people. And it was just a lot of beautiful awesomeness.
Yeah. It was amazing. Yeah. Like, it was kind of fun. We ended up there was a moment where I might have had a mild to major to catastrophic panic attack. So Leah from LHD Art was there doing body painting on people, and she's a wonderful lady.
Such a talented artist.
She is, she's one of my favorite people. I absolutely love her. Mm-hmm. And she was in the change room. So she had this little like safe area. So it was the only space where we could go and sort of get away from people.
Where it was a little bit quieter.
And I had my little panic attack, and then we ended up spending the next 2 hours back there chatting with her, and people would come in, we'd chat to them and they'd go out. And
yeah. Cause there was a lot of people coming in to change and people just looking for a space that, you know, I just need a breather kind of thing. And the change room was a good place for that. And so we just stayed down there talking to her, talking to everybody else that came in through.
Because of the panic attack, my blood sugar dropped. Yeah. So I was a bit of a mess for a pretty good proportion of the night, I'll say. But it was great to be back there. And there was a couple of people that came down who, blood sugar crashes, I'm learning, is like pretty common in swingers clubs. Because people would come in and they're like, I feel this way. And I'm like, oh yeah, you have low blood sugar. Really?
Yeah. And I know that one of the people, one of the ladies was going really hard at it. And then just, she was like, I just felt shaky. And this and the other starts describing all the symptoms.
Yeah, shaky, blurred vision, lightheaded.
The clamminess.
Yeah. She was like, yeah, that's a low blood sugar.
Yeah. And so I had a jar full of the little gummies back there and just start giving out the little gummies. And we had some Cokes. And
Miss Jeff is bringing people back. She's like, I have one more person for sick bay.
and there actually weren't that many, but it was funny.
I think there was maybe three.
I think there were three low blood sugars. Yeah.
But still, it's kind of funny to have that. She's like, one more for sick bay. So it was really good. And, so we ended up just staying back there for much of the night.
Yeah.
And then
until about 12:30 or so, I think, after the performance.
It started cooling down. Yeah.
Yeah. Because they had a burlesque performance. And then they had the competition for the best dressed, and apparently there was a lap dance off. I kind of missed the lap dance off. Sorry, I did, because I heard it was kind of amazing.
I heard it was amazing.
Yeah, and I've heard a lot of descriptions about it, and I really wish I'd seen that.
And there was
that.
A couple that won a free year entry to the club. And we know that couple. They're a lovely couple.
It'll be fun. Hopefully they'll come more often.
I would love to see more of them, because they're so. The first time we met them was at my birthday party. Mm-hmm. I think they just happened to show up on this night, like, here we are. And it was like, oh my God, there's a party. And they're wonderful people.
They have such a positive attitude.
Funny. And so I'm really excited
positive attitude will get you far.
Yeah. Because we haven't seen them since early then, January, I guess. Lovely people. So I'm really excited that they won.
Mm-hmm. But after that, I guess it was probably 12:30 or so, it did start to clear out, because you get the people that come early. They've either played or they've done their social thing. They've had a good time. They've seen the club. Because there were a fair number of new people as well. A lot of members and people that we recognize, but there are also a lot of new people. Yeah. So a lot of people like that. It was just a whole mixture. But 12:30 or so, I would say probably half the people left.
Yeah.
It was a pretty good clear out.
And what's funny is that even though half the people left, it was still fucking busy.
It was still busy, but it was a lot more comfortable, easier to move around. It was just, there was just that extra bit of breathing room. And you could also then go find a place to play and that kind of thing. So it was a lot better. And the staff, God bless them, they were doing as good as they could to keep up with the sheets and drinks and everything.
The two fellows that were working behind the bar, I said this to Lawrence the other day. At one point I looked back there, and for a brief second, it was like each of them had two sets of arms because it was like they were pouring drinks that quickly.
Yeah.
And there was still a line, but they were doing so well and keeping calm. And it was like, because I'd have been freaking out, but they were keeping calm, which I was already freaking out.
But yeah.
it was really great to see them do it. It was great. So it was, and then I guess come 2:15, I remember walking up to one of the ladies that works behind the bar and I was like, hey, how late are you guys open till? She's like, oh, we're closing at 3. I was like, fuck. She's like, just stay as long as you want.
Just if you want to go play,
go play. If you
want to
go play, go play. It's fine. I've got stuff I need to do after we close. So we took our little...
And we actually weren't there very late, though.
No. Yeah. We took our crew up there and played with them for an hour and 15 minutes or so. And there were 5 of us. And we went up to the Shackle Room. And it's something that pops into my mind that was such a nice moment was all 5 of us, so 3 guys and 2 ladies, were kneeling in a circle. Mm-hmm. And it was just one of those really great, like there were hands everywhere and there was, but we were all kneeling in this nice tight circle, shoulder to shoulder, kissing each other and leaning across. And if I wasn't kissing the person to my left, but kissing the person to their left, the person to my left was nuzzling one of us two.
Kissing your ears.
And kissing your ears. And it was just this really sweet, moment. I really enjoyed that. That's probably one of my favorite moments of the weekend, even because I had finally calmed back down and my blood sugar had normalized. So it was this really clear moment of clarity, which is really rare for me. That was that moment of peace that I don't get very often. And it was really nice because that late, you're also not worried about people walking randomly into the room and, but it was nice.
Yeah, it was really good, and it was nice to have that time at the end because we had been so social, and I think, that sexual tension had been building, so it was good to kind of finally be able to do something about it.
Yeah.
But it was just such a fun night, and again, it was so good to see everybody, and there was lots of play. I know the Voyeur's Room, the BDSM part got used a bit.
At one point, I think there was 8 people in there.
Yes.
And there's no bed in there.
No, but I also saw the cross being used as well.
Yes, right. I saw that as well.
A couple of times.
A couple of couples.
Yeah, several couples.
But, geez.
So it was, and it's just really nice to see, every bit of that place being used,
And it's interesting to touch on that, because that was a mental, again, talking about my mental state. At one point, we walked by, and it was a couple of very good friends of ours that were using the cross, and he was on the cross, and she was whipping him. And it was one of those things that as soon as I saw her hit him, I was like, I can't watch this. I can't watch this. Which is really interesting. I look at that as very interesting, sort of introspective to me. Like, it wasn't the fact that she was hurt, that she was, I'm using air quotes here, hurting him. It was the fact I didn't want to see him in any kind of pain, even though it was completely consensual and he wanted it.
And you've seen it before.
Oh, yeah. I've seen him play like that before, and it was great.
It was just at that moment.
Yeah, but at that moment. And I think that's a very interesting point on mental space, or headspace. Again, touching back on the previous podcast, that something that I've actually really enjoyed watching because I like watching her. She is very delightfully vicious. But at that moment, I couldn't see it.
Yeah.
I think that's interesting too. I think it's a know thyself kind of thing. But yeah.
Yeah, because I was kind of standing there watching, and you came up to stand next to me. You watched for literally maybe 15 seconds, and you're like, I can't watch this, and turned. Yeah.
And it was fine. You could have watched it. I just needed to get away.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was, all in all, it was a great 4th birthday. It was, holy shit, it was busy. It was fun.
One more year till number 5.
I know, right? it was great. So, so one other thing that kind of went on this week, which, was last week, I was away from traveling for work, and I may have started hitting on a young lady, which is rare for me, and may have, I did something that I've never done. So the first time I asked you out was via text. And that was one of those terrifying moments where I'm like, hey, do you want, and we'll, next week we're going to talk about our origin stories.
All right. Because, so don't ruin it.
So I won't ruin it. But so yeah, I asked you out via text. And so this past week I texted her and basically said, look, she knew everything about you and I. She'd already texted you. and asked you advice about sex toys because she knew that we were, you know, in this kind of lifestyle. But I just texted her and said, hey, I think you're really pretty. I really like you. I think we get along really well. Would you be interested in playing? And I get a text back that's like, no, and I'm a bit of a prude, and well, I'm interested, blah, blah, blah.
But then she did say at the end, I'll be drinking with you, though.
I look forward to drinking with you, though. Because, you know, that's what we were, you know, every night we were having drinking. And so, like, cool, that's absolutely fine. I think what made it change was the fact that at that point, I no longer was really trying.
Right.
You know, I was flirting still, but it was in the way that I flirt with everybody. Mm-hmm. And I think that as soon as I started treating her like everybody else, I think that's when the switch flipped and she was like, no,
Wait a minute.
I want this.
Yeah.
So my advice to people would be, don't try too hard. It was an interesting, I just wanted to sort of touch on that because it was one of those things that as soon as I stopped trying, was when, and I was still making very flirtatious comments.
Right.
But I was making them to a lot of, you know, that's just me. That's my personality.
And I think it's both that the fact that you are, even though you're still interested in her, but she may not view it as you're not as interested in her, and therefore, you know, you always want what you can't have kind of thing. But also, and it may be subtly, and probably not to any great detriment, but when you do try harder, you do change who you are a little bit.
Maybe, yeah.
And so you may not be the usual, casual, comfortable self that she had seen around before. I don't really think that's it, because I think it's more just the, oh, hey, look, he's no longer interested. I can't have him. Yeah. Now I want it.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's more that.
I think it's more that.
But if you do try super, super hard, you can really change. But I don't think you were trying that hard.
I don't try that hard. No. I'm always, I'm sort of, especially in that kind of situation, I never expect anybody to like me. Yeah. It's fine. And I'm always surprised when people show any kind of interest in me, which was one of those things that, you know, things like, we would go outside because it was horrifically raining. Mm-hmm. And we would go outside to watch the rain undercover. And I would stand still, but she would walk up and stand so close to me that she would, in like just a little bit of drifting, she would touch me. Mm. We would touch. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And then, you know, I'm thinking, there's little Bradford on my shoulder going, hey, idiot, that means she likes you. I'm like, no, no. And then the devil guy on the other hand is like, yeah, she wants you. I'm like, no, no. And I mean, it was like, so that happened like two or three times. Uh-huh. And finally, I sort of caught on, like, that's what she's doing. So then I'm like, all right, let's see if that's the case. So, you know, I'd let her touch me, and then I would take a step forward and, you know, like,
see if it would repeat.
And then she would move closer and do it again. But yeah, so it was interesting to, and it's always a surprise to me when somebody, especially women, like me. And she even said, you know, and this was after we hooked up, you know, when we first met, I thought you were gay. I'm like, all right. But you eat pussy so well, you should teach a class on it. Funny you should say that. So it was great. But that was interesting. And it's it is such a great, for me at least, and I don't know if, and I'm curious for you, like when something like that happens, for me it's such an ego boost. Like I'm kind of like amazed and high off of it for a while. Do you get that same kind of ego boost?
Yes, but I don't think
it... Are you just used to people throwing themselves at your feet?
No, not at all. Not at all. We all still have to work for it. But I would say for me, the high doesn't last as long.
Yeah.
But I'm also a lot more pragmatic than you are, I guess.
How is it pragmatic?
I was going to say, maybe that's not the right word, but I don't know.
Because doesn't pragmatic mean practical?
Yeah, well, I am a lot more practical than you.
And I'm not arguing that. But how does practicality...
I guess because then I also... And this could just be me overanalyzing, but I start looking at it as, you know, yes, maybe that person is interested in me, but it could also be just, you know, they had needs, I had needs, we're both there, that kind of thing. So it's not really me. It is me, but not 100%.
So fair enough. But, and I'm going to say this is, and I'm being sexist here, and feel free to call me out, world, but this is a difference between men and women. Mm-hmm. Women who... And I mean this in a very kind way. Women who look like you don't have any trouble getting laid.
That's not true.
That is totally true, especially in the situation where I was last week, where
that's because you were in a very male-heavy environment.
Fair enough. But that doesn't change the truth that if you wanted to, and she's the same way, mm-hmm. if one of you wanted to hook up, it's not hard. You could have a different person each night and it would be easy. Whereas the guys, and you're right, fair. It was a male centric.
Yes.
We have to work a lot harder. So when somebody shows any kind of interest in you at all, you're like, wow, why do you like me?
No, absolutely. But again, I don't think, if I were in a very female-heavy environment, it would be just as hard for me to do that as well. I think it just depends on the environment that you're in and who's around.
I'm pretty sure most women would jump into bed with you, too. Although you don't admit it, you exude sexuality. Don't make that face.
Meh.
That's not an answer. All right. Yeah, I just wanted to sort of touch on that because I thought it was interesting.
And well done for putting yourself out there.
That made me very uncomfortable. And when you text that and you're texting back and forth to somebody and you text that and mm-hmm. then they don't respond for the next 20 minutes, it's like, well, it's the end of the world.
Shit.
Yep, that's it. But it was quite funny.
Yeah.
All right, so we have a question, and
that's
sort of where this came from.
Okay,
is this question? So this was one. This wasn't one that somebody sent in. I just saw it on the interwebs, and I was like, "Oh, this is cute. I like this." What dirty thoughts did you have this week, and did you do anything about them? So, and I say that only because I was traveling this week, so we didn't spend much of the week together.
No.
So. Did you have any dirty thoughts this week?
I did, but the gentleman helped me out.
I was going to say, I did too. I did too, but this young lady helped me out. I did have a couple of really sexy dreams about you. So I did something again that I rarely do. So I left on Monday morning mm-hmm. and I didn't get back till Thursday night. Mm-hmm. I didn't masturbate the entire time. I know. I do that to myself.
Really?
Sometimes I do that to myself. I don't know, just to see if I can, kind of thing, it's sort of like if I were to stop drinking, just mm-hmm. to see if I could stop drinking. I'm not going to stop drinking because I probably couldn't stop drinking.
But masturbating is different than drinking.
I know, right? It's important. So
it's
important
for my mental health.
I will say the best part about not masturbating is when you finally do orgasm. If, especially for men, it's like I could paint the walls. Think about that one.
I'm pretty sure you've painted many of the walls in here.
I try to. Yeah, if you blacklit this place, it'd look like a Rorschach test.
Yeah.
Yeah, most hotel rooms I'm in as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, so that was kind of a thing. But then mm-hmm. I would end up having these wonderful, sexy dreams about you, mostly. I did have one sexy dream about you, the gentleman, and then this young lady.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was pretty
I'm just
awesome.
Going to interject her in there.
Yeah, well, I mean,
why not?
She just knocked on the door in my dream. It's like, hello. I'm like, all right, come on in.
Was that before or after you hooked up with
before.
Her?
Before.
Okay.
Yeah, before. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, it really was. Because mm-hmm. I rarely have sexy dreams about people I don't know.
Do you ever have just like an unknown person, like just some random, whether you can actually see them or just a shape or just
I always know the person that I'm having sex with in my dreams. Yeah.
Interesting.
It's always someone I know sometimes with someone famous, mm-hmm. like a movie star or something like that. It might be that, but I still know exactly who it is.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So how about you?
Well, I mean, like I said, I had some dirty, dirty thoughts, but again, the gentleman came over and was able to help with that. We may have done a little bit of pegging.
Ooh.
We broke out my new panties that I got
at
Max Black.
Yeah.
Yeah. So broke those out.
Awesome.
It's awesome. Yes, they were very nice. I liked them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we did a little bit. I'd have to think really hard to think what else because I kind of got stuck on the pegging, and I was like, this is awesome.
Right. Actually, wasn't him the one that got stuck on pegging?
Well, yes. it was really good. Oh, and then he stayed the night, which he doesn't always do, but he did stay the night. So then, of course,
Did you pounce on me in the morning?
No, he pounced on me.
Oh, good for him.
Because he woke up before me, and I could kind of, you know, feel him, like, kind of grabbing and touching, and I was like, it kind of took me a second, because I was,
Because I don't fucking do that.
Well, you don't do that, and also I, you know, had been by myself the last couple of nights, and so then it was just kind of like, what? Oh, yeah, there is somebody over there.
Who's groping me? He better be hot. Oh, he is. Good.
Yeah. The next thing I know, he's on top of me. So, you know, can't complain about that.
No.
It's a nice way to wake up.
Yeah. That's awesome. I love it.
Yeah.
Hey. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
Anything else you want to add to that?
No. I'm now all aroused and shit. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so like we said, catch us on at Pendulum on May 18th. Catch you, her, Mrs. Yep. Adam, on at Femme on May 25th, mm-hmm. or the sex ed class the beginning of April, the first mm-hmm. Friday of April, the 6th, or the end of April, which is about threesomes, foursomes, and
moresomes. We've had a few of those lately.
Yes. I really would love to come up with some sort of diagram. Like, if we could have like a Lego people.
I was going to say, the best thing about the one on Friday night was it was just literally legs and arms and just torsos.
We were basically a woven basket of human body parts. Yeah. It's a cross between Caligula and Saul.
Everything is still attached, however.
A little bit of a human centipede in there as well. mouth on pussy, on mouth on pussy, on mouth. It was great. So find us. Yeah, sorry, but I digress. find us there. We always love to hear from you guys. Mm-hmm. You can message us on Twitter at By the By Podcast, or follow us on Twitter and then DM message us, direct message us. Facebook at By the By Podcast, www.bytheby.com.au, and then also our Gmail email account, which is By the By.
Nope.
The Atoms of Love at gmail.com. I need more alcohol. I'm feeling really dumb. So definitely send us your messages.
Yeah,
we love to hear from people. We recently got a message on Instagram, which I feel really guilty.
I didn't know you could do that.
I didn't either. Look, folks, we don't understand Instagram. I'm 40. Like, Instagram is like so far. And I mean, fucking try Snapchat. Lawrence tried to teach me Snapchat, and I looked at him and was like, dude, I can't do this. But this message on Instagram.
I thought Instagram was all just pictures.
Apparently it's messages as well. But we had a message on there that is a month old.
Sorry, people.
Sorry. Look, we don't use Instagram. That's why we always say we're on Instagram, but all our good shit's on Twitter. So that's why, don't.
I'm going to have to look this up now because I didn't know you could do that.
I know.
All right, I'm going to get a little bit of an Instagram lesson tonight.
I know, right? It's like, it's really bad. So I hate to admit this, and people are going to be laughing, but I did go to YouTube and watch a video on using the Instagram app. It is not as simple as it should be. To me, it's deceptively complex. It looks like it should be easy.
It does look like it should be easy.
But then when you try to use it, you're like, well, I can't do that. And even things we've been tagged in, I can't learn how to fucking like. Okay, look, I'm old, okay? Fuck you. Anyway, so message us on the prescribed venues. And we'll get right back at you.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
All right, bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.